chapter 5, James chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading several scripture tonight from the King James and also from the Message translation. In fact, before we read James 5, I want to read a portion of the prophetic words that I shared here with our congregation on December the 14th, 2002, regarding the year 2003. And I'm just going to read a portion of it, not all of it. 2003 is your year to be totally free. God is going to release a new and fresh anointing on your life. You're going to see the glory of God manifested as never before. You're going to walk in a higher level of effectiveness, and breakthroughs will come in every area of your life. God is planning to reward you for not giving up. He will reward you for remaining faithful. Your standing on His Word has not been in vain. 2003 is your year for reaping and harvesting. You'll see hundredfold. The pressure you have been under is diminishing and will soon be over. Satan's attacks won't carry the same strength as they once did. God is going to loose you, turn your captivity like He did Job, and restoration is coming your way. Your days of shame are over, and every need will be met, and the mountains which looked as though they would never depart will soon be gone. Not one of them will be left standing. Let's give the Lord a shout over that. Praise God. Amen. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at James chapter 5 and remember that God is saying to us that our standing on His Word has not been in vain, that He's going to reward us for remaining faithful. This is going to be a year of loosing us from all captivity, a year of restoration, a year of things being turned around in our behalf, praise God. In James 5, let's actually start with verse 10 and verse 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now let me read that verse from the Message translation. Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything. They went through everything and never once quit, all the time honoring God. Take the prophets as an example. Look to them as your mentors. They went through everything. They experienced everything, just like you and I do today. And not once did they quit. And all the time, they kept right on honoring God. And then the 11th verse from the King James says, behold, we count them happy which endure. The Message translation says, what a gift life is to those who stay the course. Stay the course. Look at somebody and say, stay the course. And then it says in the remaining part of verse 11 from the King James, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Underline that phrase. You have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now the Message translation says, you've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. Everybody say staying power. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. Now, that's the phrase that I kept hearing in my spirit. In fact, I was in Hempstead, Texas on Tuesday night, and then in Pasadena, Texas on Wednesday night. And as I was sitting there on the front row during the praise and worship in the Pasadena service, I was getting ready to go up to preach, and the Spirit of God said, here's what I want you to preach at Back to the Basics Friday night. I said, Lord, I'm just about to go preach this message. He said, you got time. And so I kept hearing that phrase, I'm going to bring it all together for you. I'm going to bring it all together for you. I'm going to bring it all together for you. Just think about that for a moment. Do a little Selah right there, praise God. Eh? You know, think about this. Ponder this. Meditate on it. How many of you could stand for God to bring it all together for you? And then he led me to this verse, and then all of a sudden, I mean, just verses just began to come to me, and I jotted them all down and could hardly wait to get back to my room to study them out, and then again today, praying over them and listening to the Spirit of God. And it just exploded in my spirit, particularly this translation He says, you have heard of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. Now, there's several key points that these scriptures are revealing to us. And I want you to write these down if you're a note taker. Number one, no matter what you might go through, don't quit. No matter what you might go through, don't quit. How many of you just knew that I'd have a message on don't quit? I am the no-quit guy. Hallelujah. No matter what you might go through, don't quit. Number two, no matter how impossible your situation may seem, stay on course. No matter how impossible your situation may seem, stay on course. Number three, when your problems seem more than you can bear, develop staying power. When your problems seem more than you can bear, develop staying power. And then finally, number four, when it seems that nothing is happening, remember, God is about to bring it all together for you. Now, those are some key points that will help us experience victory when we're going through impossible-looking situations. The last part of verse 11 from the Message translation says that the reason God will bring it all together in the end is because God cares. He cares right down to the last detail. Now, I don't know about you, but it thrills me to know that God cares. And sometimes when you're going through certain situations, you wonder if anybody cares. You wonder if anybody's listening. You wonder if anybody's concerned at all about, you know, your well-being. But thank God, God cares. May not be anybody else that cares, but I'm sure somebody does. But at least we know God cares. Amen? It appears to me that one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ today is this staying power. Look at somebody say, staying power. It seems to be one of the things that's lacking, perhaps more than anything else. There are too many people in the body of Christ today that give up too quickly, that are ready to throw in the towel at the first sign of defeat. The Bible says, you know, of course, of Job's staying power. Now, we all know the story of Job, without us having to go into it in great length. But you talk about somebody who had adversity, and we're talking about every day. And we're talking about from a period between 9 and 12 months. And it's important that you understand that the book of Job does not cover this man's lifetime. Most theologians agree that the book of Job only covers between 9 to 12 months of this man's life. That's the worst 9 to 12 months you've ever read about. But it does tell me this. When the devil has pulled out, so to speak, the heavy artillery and fired it at a man for 12 months, day after day, that God can still turn it around. Amen? God can still turn it around. Now, if you say, well, my 2002 was the worst year I've ever been through, well, then you've had your Job experience. But it's not over. In fact, it's not over until you see the end of the Lord. Remember that phrase in the King James? The end of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean God will no longer exist. That doesn't mean that he will cease to be. That just means it's not over until the fat lady sings. Amen? As they say. You've got to wait for the end of the Lord. It's not over until God's had his say. It's not over until God's done his part. You see, God's working behind the scenes even as you sit here listening to me right now. And it's not over until you can say, I have seen the end of the Lord. And if you have seen the end of the Lord, then that means God brought it all together for you, praise God. Amen? God brought it all together. So, the King James Version calls this patience, this staying power. Patience. And patience simply means to be constant or to be consistent. It means never changing, regardless of the circumstances. Not enough people today are willing to stick it out. Too many people are quick to give up. Robert Schuller is famous for saying, tough times never last, but tough people do. Amen? Tough times never last, but tough people do. Success, as well as failure, is a choice. Success begins when you decide that you aren't going to quit. Failure begins when you decide, I can't take anymore. It's a choice. Success is about striving to obtain everything that God has promised is yours. no matter how long it takes. You just keep striving for it. No matter what kind of obstacles you might face, you keep striving for it. Success doesn't mean you never have a problem. Success means you overcome problems. There's no such thing as a life on this planet without problems. As long as you and I are on this planet, you've heard me say it before, we're going to be confronted with adversity, trials, tests, and problems. It's our attitude about these problems that will determine whether we fail or succeed. Now notice once again, James tells us that if we are willing to develop this staying power when our problems are trying to overwhelm us, then God will bring it all together for us. Hebrews chapter 10 is very familiar. Let's back up to it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. It says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Notice there is a reward that is promised to those who will not give up. There is a reward that is promised to those who will stick to it. I don't see anywhere where people who quit are rewarded. It's only those who develop this staying power. The Message translation says in verse 35, "So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing." Don't throw it all away now. Look at somebody and tell them, "You've come too far to quit." Amen. Verse 36 says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The Message translation says, "But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion." You need to stick it out. Come on, tell your neighbor, stick it out. Tell them, get tough. You're not a wimp. You're not a quitter. You're a winner. Amen. Now, I realize that all of us, from time to time, are confronted with impossible situations, and you think, "I just can't stand anymore. I can't take anymore." But you really don't know how much you can take until you push yourself. Amen. I think all of you know by now I'm a boxing fanatic. I love boxing. It never ceases to amaze me that if these guys are in good condition, if they train properly, I mean, it can look like that they are finished. And then suddenly there comes what the athletic world calls a second wind. And when that second wind hits, they can turn the tide. I mean, I told Evander Holyfield one time, I said, "Evander, you owe me one of your belts." He says, "Why?" I said, "Because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have won that fight." I helped you, brother. And after the fight, I needed a rub down in the shower. I was worn out, man. But I helped you. I helped you get up, you know. I remember his three most famous fights with Riddick Bowe, you know. You talk about staying power. I mean, when it looked like there's absolutely no way that Evander could win this fight. And yet he just wouldn't give up. He just wouldn't quit. And finally that second win came. And I'll never forget watching that one and hearing the announcer say, "Well, it looks like Evander has finally come to the end of the line." And then when the second win hit and he won the fight, that same announcer said, "We've just seen a legend at work." You know, it's amazing how people will give up on you, you know. But you don't know how much you can take until you're willing to push yourself. And I promise you, you can take a whole lot more than you've probably seen in your past. Let's remember that we're filled with God. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? We're not talking about our own strength, our own might, our own ability. The greater one indwells us. I absolutely refuse to say I can't take any more. For me to say I can't take any more, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I've never reached a point in my life where that certainly was what it seemed to be. I mean, I've reached points in my life where it seemed I couldn't take any more, but I wouldn't say it, because to say it would dishonor the cross. To say it would be to admit the blood of Jesus wasn't enough. To say it would be to say the cross didn't work, but it did work. If I can't take what the devil dishes out, then Jesus died in vain. Hello? But he didn't die in vain. And you can take it, praise God. The problem is, most of us have not yet developed this staying power. Amen. This staying power, this sticking to it. We're always looking over our shoulders for an excuse to give up. And if you do, the devil will certainly give you plenty of excuses. So notice, both James and the writer of the book of Hebrews agree that we have to stick to it if we expect to be victorious, if we want to be rewarded. Back up to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And look at verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That ye be not slothful. Don't be so quick to give up. Don't get lazy where your faith is concerned. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Message translation says, be like those who stay the course with committed faith. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith, and then get everything promised to them. Notice these people that stay the course with this committed faith, what happens? They get everything that God promised to them. How many of you want everything God says belongs to you? Then we got to stay the course with this committed faith. Ask yourself right now, am I willing to stay the course? If so, then God promises that He will cause it all to come together for you. Until God brings it all together, then apparently it's not over yet. If you haven't seen the end of the Lord, then it's not over yet. What was the end of the Lord regarding Job? That's where we started with this. James was using Job as an example. What was the end of the Lord regarding Job? Let's go back to it. Take a look at Job chapter 42. You all know this, but this is back to basics, so we're going to go back and deal with it again. Look at Job 42. Let's see what James was talking about when he said the end of the Lord. In Job chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And verse 12 says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Now, that's what you call the end of the Lord. That's what James was referring to. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced your turnaround yet? If not, then it's not over. You haven't seen the end of the Lord. Have you experienced restoration yet? If not, then it's not over yet. You haven't seen the end of the Lord. Are you better off now than you were before this attack came? If not, then it's not over yet. You haven't seen the end of the Lord. If you're determined that you're going to stick with it, then you're going to see the end of the Lord, and He's going to cause it to all come together for you. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout if you believe it. Amen. You've heard me say it before. Don't ever rule God out. Let God have the last say. Your situation may look so impossible at this moment that you've decided to just accept the worst. Believe for the worst. David did that one time. In Psalm 39, verse 4, the Message translation. This tickled me when I read it today. Here's what David said to God, and I'm reading it from the Message translation. Tell me, what's going on, God? How long do I have to live? Give me the bad news. Oh, well. I'm just a puff of air anyway, you know. Give it to me. Give me the worst of it, you know. Well, that's what a lot of people do. They just accept defeat as final when defeat is not inevitable. Amen. Don't go saying, okay, I'll just learn to live with this. I guess this is my lot in life. You know, it works for some, but not all. I'm one of the ones it doesn't work for. I'm not confessing that. If it's going to work for anybody, it's going to work for me, praise God. Because I'm going to develop this staying power. I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to hold fast to the Word of God, not cast away my confidence, and I am thoroughly convinced that somehow, some way, God's going to bring it all together for me. I may not know how He's going to do it. In fact, most of the time, I don't have a clue. Do you? I mean, just be honest with me. When God has given you the breakthrough, did you know in advance how God was going to do it? I don't. And I finally learned over the years, quit trying to tell God how to do it. Quit trying to figure it out. Just say, God, I love surprises, and bring it on. Hallelujah. Amen? Just let God be God. He's smarter than us anyway, and He's got a number of ways that He can meet your need without you trying to figure it out. Amen? So failure is never inevitable. Don't give up so quickly. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Notice that phrase. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Look at somebody and say, your situation is going to get better. It's going to turn out better than you can even ask or think. God is going to bring it all together for you. But you have to ask yourself tonight, once again, where's my staying power? Have I let go of it? Am I still holding fast to it? We have to stay focused on the end of the Lord. Stay focused on how will my circumstances change when I see the end of the Lord. That's what I'm standing for. That's what I'm waiting for. Let's take a look at Psalm 37. My message won't be very long tonight, but it will be to the point. Praise God. Psalm 37. And let's take a look at verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Peace can be translated as well-being, as soundness, as wholeness. It can also be translated as prosperity. There are many times when you see the word peace that it is also defined as prosperity. So notice it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is prosperity. The end of that man is well-being, soundness, wholeness. The Amplified says, there is a happy end for this man. The New International says, there is a future for this man. Hallelujah. So it sounds like to me that if this man determines that he's not going to give up, that he's going to stick with it, that he's going to trust God all the way, even though he may not have a clue what God is doing behind the scenes, but he's just determined, I am not going to let go of my staying power, then God says this man has a future, he's going to have a happy ending, and the end of that is going to be peace and soundness and wholeness and prosperity, praise God. I believe I'll stick with it. How about you? Sounds like to me that God is saying that this man will not fail, that he will not be destroyed. Why? Because the end of the Lord has not yet manifested, but when it does, then God's going to bring it all together for him. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't give up. God's about to bring it all together for you. Amen. Verses 39 and 40 of that same Psalm 37 says, he is their strength, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them because they trust in him. What's your decision tonight? Are you throwing in the towel or are you going to stick it out? God says if you will stick with him, listen to this. God says if you will stick with him in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16, and you keep walking in his ways, then he says, I will do thee good at thy latter end. God's going to do some good things out of you. Amen. It's not over yet. You just need to tell the devil he hasn't seen the end of you yet. Amen. Tell him, you haven't seen the last of me. You haven't seen the end of me yet. Amen. It's not over until God has the final say. Tell him that your best days are just ahead of you. If the devil keeps bringing up your future, bring up his. His is not very bright. Yours is. You're headed for some good things. You're headed for a turnaround. You're headed for restoration. You're headed for the double, praise God. Amen? And Satan's headed for a lake of fire. So if he wants to talk about your future, bring up his, and he'll shut up real quick. Amen? Let the devil know once and for all that you have no intentions of quitting. View all of his attempts as nothing more than a distraction. A distraction is Satan's way of trying to gain control. He's trying to gain control of you through a distraction. But don't let him have it. Stay focused on what God has promised. Someone once said, there is nothing that perseverance cannot accomplish. There's absolutely nothing that perseverance cannot accomplish. Someone else said, if I persist long enough, then I know I will win. If you persist long enough, then you will win. It's your choice. You can either give up now, or you can stick with it and watch God bring it all together for you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this chapter from the message. In fact, it makes me laugh every time I read it. Verse 1 in chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Underline that phrase, "we faint not." In the Message translation, it says, "We're not about to throw up our hands just because we run into occasional hard times." We are not about to throw up our hands just because we run into occasional hard times. Notice verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." The Message translation says, "We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. God has never left our side." And then notice 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The Message translation says, "These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times." Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. "These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The Message translation says, "There's far more here than meets the eye." Amen? There's far more here than meets the eye. In other words, there's things going on behind the scenes that you can't even see with a natural eye. So don't throw up your hands and quit. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "But we walk by faith and not by sight." The Message translation says, "It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going." It's what we're trusting in and don't yet see that keeps us going. So I believe what the Spirit of God is saying to us as we begin this new year is we need to develop some staying power. We need to get tough. Amen. Get some backbone in our life. Learn how to set our jaw. Learn how to put our hand to the plow and not look back. Make up our minds that if anybody's going to give up this year, it's going to be the devil, not us, praise God. Determine once and for all that I'm here to stay, praise God. I'm a lifer in this thing called faith. I'm not going to quit now, not giving up now. I've come too far, prayed too many prayers, seen God do too much. Why, I'd be a fool for giving up now, praise God. Amen? Now, I don't always know, as we've already said, how God is going to cause it to turn out for my good. But I do have this promise that if I will develop this staying power, then God is going to bring it all together for me. And if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you because He's no respecter of persons. Amen? Hallelujah. So you just got to make up your mind right now. Here we are in a brand new year. Many people make New Year's resolutions only to break them. But we're not going to break this one. Amen? Say it with me. I am resolute this year. I will develop staying power. I'm sticking to it. No turning back. No giving up. Winning is not an option. This is my resolution for 2003. And I fully expect this year to see the end of the Lord. God is going to bring it all together for me. This is my year for restoration. My year for the double. My year for harvest. My year for reaping. My year to be totally free. Give the Lord a shout if you believe it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand up and let's shout unto God and let's thank Him for it. Hallelujah. This is our year. This is our time for reward. Hallelujah. This is our time for the turnaround. And we are not giving up. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah.